And welcome into Davis and Beadle, the podcast. Jim Davis along with Curtis Beadleman. Joining us from the wonderful Front Range. Beadle, how are you?
I'm not good. It's snowing over here again.
So it's snowing again?
Yeah, we're supposed to get like 4 or 5 inches tonight.
Yeah, you keep it over there.
I'm done with it.
You keep it on your side of the hill. We'll keep our relatively nice spring-like weather over here, okay? We'll make that a deal. You get the snow, we'll get the nice weather over here.
I don't know if I like that deal.
I like that deal a lot.
Like a very Rockies Cardinals type deal right now. Yeah, I don't think I like it.
And it sounds like I'm the Cardinals, and I'm getting the weather, which is Nolan Arenado. And look, not that Austin Gomer's been terrible, but certainly no Nolan Arenado, mind you. But well, first I'd talk a little bit about your beloved Dodgers, defending World Series champions, and had that big showdown series with San Diego early, you know, indicator of, you know, will the Padres battle for the division title in the West against the Los Angeles Dodgers? And, you know, I think the Dodgers continue to show people at 13-3, they are still the team to beat, no matter how many pieces the Padres have added to Blake Snell, or obviously, you know, what they have with Fernando Tatis Jr., which of course has been hurt, but that the Dodgers are still, even with that Padres win yesterday, 5-2, Dodgers are still the team to beat in the West and still the team to beat in the National League.
Yeah, for sure. I think it was an awesome series. It was a lot of fun from just a viewership standpoint. It was intense, which is more than you usually get in April. Everybody's still trying to kind of feel their way through their lineups and pitching combinations and stuff like that. So it was super intense. That opening game, extra innings matchup kind of set the table for the rest of the series. And it didn't disappoint from that standpoint, but I think you're right. I mean, I think the Dodgers they're still the better team. I like the Padres personnel. I think they're extremely dangerous, but they just are missing one or two pieces in that offensive lineup. And we'll see how the starting rotation pans out. It's pretty good right now. Got to keep all those guys healthy with Snell and Darvish and might even get a guy or two back, and their bullpen's really good, but it just, they're not quite as deep as the Dodgers when it came down to it. But you give them credit. They fought hard and they came up with the win late to kind of, end that series on a good note for the Padres. And I don't know. I just think, I feel like the Dodgers, now that they have that World Series under their belt, they just seem like a more calm, more veteran team all of a sudden, which they are, and they have been for a while, but they didn't show a lot of kinks in the armor, so to speak. When the Padres challenged them and got a little chippy, they answered right back, and then otherwise they just kind of went about their business. And it's kind of fun to see Clayton Kershaw get kicked off and scream across the diamond at a couple people. You don't see that too often, so that was fun. And the Padres are what they are, man. They don't stop talking and they don't stop playing. I'll give them credit; they play hard the whole time. They like to hear themselves talk a lot too. So it is what it is. That's who they are. So anybody else, I guess, is going to have to deal with it too.
I guess a couple of surprises here in the National League so far, that Atlanta's where they're at right now. I mean, it's still early. There's no reason to hit the panic button if you're a Braves fan. It's not like how the start that the Yankees are off to right now. But what about the Cincinnati Reds? Let's give the Reds a little credit. Joey Votto, I think a lot of people thought that he was, his best days were behind him. Had a good game against Cleveland the other day, 3-for-4. Had a 2-run double. They lead the division. They lead the Central right now, 9-6. And they've definitely been, and Joey Votto's resurgence, it has led to the Reds being where they are right now, off to a really good start here. Yes, it's still April, but a pretty good start for the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, absolutely. And they look the part. I mean, they're playing well, they're pitching it well. They're definitely the surprise. I would add the Red Sox in as a little bit of a surprise, not because they aren't capable, but they got off to that slow start and you kind of thought, all right, they're in the middle of a remake, but now they're playing really well now too. So I'd say those two are the big surprises on the good side. And then, yeah, the Yankees and And then obviously the Braves have been a bit of a surprise on the bad side. But yeah, the Reds, I like the Reds. I mean, I think that they've added more personnel than most people knew. You know, they lost players like Bauer and stuff like that. So you kind of, you know, that's the thing that you remember about the Reds is the guys that left them or got away or didn't pan out, like Puig or something like that. But in the meantime, they've added a lot of good parts. They've done a pretty good job picking up some prospects and adding some pieces to their pitching lineup that's helped them out. And then, you know, you forget how good Joey Votto is because he's kind of been stuck in a not very flashy lineup and he's not a very flashy dude. So he's great, though. I mean, that's a MVP caliber player, one of the best hitters in the league for the past, you know, 5-6 years. And you forget how good he is until they're winning ball games left and right. You go, oh yeah, I forgot about that guy. I don't really think I'd want to pitch to him right now. And I don't think I'd want to pitch to that lineup right now. So they're producing. They've been kind of a fun surprise. We'll see if they can keep it up. That's going to be a battle in that division. I mean, you talk about them and then obviously you have St. Louis, Milwaukee and Cubs. I mean, that's going to be a wild one from start to finish, I would think.
Yeah, you look at what Votto's doing. Mike Moustakas is off to a good start. Nick Castellanos is off to a good start offensively. Then you look at the pitching. I mean, Sean Doolittle's 2-0. Wade Miley's 2-1. And then some guy named Jeff Hoffman. He's 2-1 right now. He's pitched 15 1/3 already, which is tied for it's tied for second as in terms of innings pitched already this season. The former Rocky Jeff Hoffman. Maybe change of scenery. Well, for a lot of guys, you leave Colorado, it's done them some good. And apparently in the case of Jeff Hoffman, it's done him some good.
Yeah. And that's one of those additions I was talking about. You know, that's not a headline maker to add him, but that's a guy that was a super high prospect in the Toronto organization when the Rockies got him. And they just couldn't get out of him what they wanted. He showed flashes. With the Rockies, you know, there was a few outings where you're like, all right, this guy's, he's going to do it. He's going to put this together. And then he'd either get hurt or do what a lot of the Rockies pitchers have done. And that's just kind of succumbed to the pressures of playing within the Rockies organization. But that was a good addition by them and one that they've turned into a pretty, you know, productive guy so far anyway. And like I said, the biggest thing for Hoffman was, can he stay healthy? So he's one that's had trouble with that. So hopefully he can stay healthy for them. But guys like Doolittle, I mean, that's a good pitcher. You just, when you're putting these guys on lists with, you know, guys like Trevor Bauer that have been there before and just across the National League, there's so many good arms to Grom and all the guys in LA and San Diego. You just kind of forget that there's some really, really high quality pitchers. They might not be the same, you know, caliber of guys like the Grom and guys like Bauer and all that stuff, but they're really productive. And when it comes down to it in Major League Baseball, the answer is, can you keep us in the game until the sixth inning? Can you get us to the bullpen with a chance to win? And that's what Major League Baseball is all about over the long run. The headlines go to the guys that get the really high strikeout numbers and, you know, end up on Pitching Ninja Twitter and, you know, self-promote a little bit. But the truth is, any GM across the Major League Baseball landscape will take a guy that can throw them around 200 innings, maybe more, and get them to the fifth or sixth without problems almost every outing. And that's what the Reds have. And they might have guys that can even get them deeper than that sometimes, but they have enough offense to win games and to produce in those situations. And that's really what the game has become. It's keep it close until the later innings and let's see whose bullpen wins. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but that is definitely where the game has gone.
Flip it over to the Rockies. They lose 2 out of 3 to the Mets, though starting pitching has been certainly good enough. Herman Marquez has been okay, not brilliant, but he's been fine. Antonio Sensatella pitched really well. At times, not a great game against the Dodgers, but John Gray has not been bad. Austin Gomber, who, you know, we were joking about earlier, Austin Gomber's not looked all that bad. Had that one really rocky, you know, first game for Colorado, but then after that has been pretty good. I mean, their starting pitching has not been that bad. When you're talking ERA of 3.57 for Marquez and a 4.40 for Sensatella, 2.87 for John Gray, 3.52 for Austin Gomber, those are ERAs that those are the kind of numbers you expect from a rocky starting staff. And it's not even like their bullpen has been that bad. They've had moments where guys like, certainly Carlos Estevez has not been great. Their offense, though, is just killing them. Yesterday, they can only get four hits. Trevor Story had to, they lose a 2-1 game to the Mets yesterday. Trevor Story gets thrown out at second base to end the game. I guess just before you talk about, your take on their pitching, the decision yesterday to try to steal the bag at second. You get Charlie Blackmon at the plate, and Trevor said, hey, look, I'm sorry to Charlie that I got thrown out, but, I had to be aggressive there, in his opinion. I would have done the same thing if I had to do it over again. Was that the right move in that game?
I think if you think you can steal it. Especially when you have an offense that's struggling and you have a guy like Charlie Blackmon, who's the main struggle in that offense right now, if you ask me. The story hasn't been a whole lot better, but Charlie Blackmon has really struggled. But sometimes you try and, if you think you can steal the base, you take that gamble, and sometimes it takes a little pressure off of a guy when you see a runner in motion, you kind of revert to playing contact baseball instead of trying to, hit it better than good. You just want to protect the guy, and that's how you kind of get things going sometimes. So I don't mind that. I don't mind an aggressive move there if you think you can steal the base, and you got to do something to get that offense going. But I'm sure there's plenty of data analysts out there that can tell you that that was the wrong move and you should never do that, and give you a million reasons and numbers why. But if you're the Rockies, the biggest thing is you just got to find a way to get some offensive production. And, a series like that, you kind of look at two and go, all right, well, they had to face DeGrom in one game and Stroman in another. That's two of the hotter pitchers in the league right now as well. So, they were going to have trouble scoring no matter what. And they did. They lost both those games and won the one in the middle. So, it just, sometimes you can look at the trend for the Rockies, both their pitchers and their offense. Maybe the struggles are the fact that they played two series against the Dodgers and one against the Mets, and that is half the best pitching in all of baseball right there. So it's hard to get going against guys like that, against their staff like that, when you're playing early. So maybe a little more time and some different pitching staff will get them going. But you're right, the pitchers have been solid. They put them in games. The record's a disaster, right? Yeah. They're the worst in baseball, I believe, at this point.
Yankees are trying real hard, though. Yankees are trying hard to grab the cellar in baseball from them.
It's hard to feel like you're doing worse than the Yankees, because that's like panic time there right now. But they are. I mean, they're 4-12, and I think you can look, though, at the run differential and kind of understand that maybe they're closer than that record says. Their run differential is only minus 10. So in 16 games, they're at a minus 10 run differential, and they have the worst record in the league. So, four runs, get some, maybe three more wins. When you think about some of those one run games and the close ones that they've lost. So, they're closer than maybe we're giving them credit for, but
right.
The record is the thing that you look to first, and that's the disaster right now. It didn't feel good going in, and it's not feeling much better right now. So,
no kidding. No doubt about that. All right, we'll wrap it up here. The Colorado Mesa baseball team, number one team in Division II baseball, coming off the doubleheader win at Regis on Sunday. They have Highlands coming in this weekend. And just looking at some of the numbers, you have Andrew Morris, who's been a multiple-time RMAC Pitcher of the Week winner this season, 5-0. He has a 2.49 ERA. He's off to a sensational start. You've got Ryan Day, who's 5-0, 3.60 ERA. Trevin Reynolds is 6-0. His ERA is up there a little bit, but 5.82. But Just your thoughts about this Colorado Mesa pitching staff, because this is a pretty deep group. You got, you know, Cannon Handy, who's 3-0. You have, you know, a lot of different guys that have gone out. Jared Urie's contributed. He's 2-1. Anthony Durbano's been working out of the pen. He's 2-1. It seems like for Jeff Rogers and for Skip Chris Hanks, this is a pretty deep pitching staff. It might be one of the deepest that they've had in quite some time. You were there a long time, coaching and also pitching for the Mavericks. I guess your thoughts about this current group and how deep it is compared to maybe some of the past groups that have been there that have helped to take the Mavericks to the Division II World Series.
Yeah, I don't know if I can think of one that is this deep. This is certainly, you know, as far as the skill level of the arms that they are throwing out there. I mean, Andrew Morris is—he's just getting better and better. He still feels like he's just a kid, and he just keeps getting better every time he goes out there. And you kind of are wondering where his peak is. I don't know where it is right now. You know, a kid, he came in as a really young freshman anyway, and tore it up, and then you kind of were waiting for some sort of bubble to burst with him or a little plateau or something like that. It doesn't seem like he's really hit that, maybe for like a week or two or something like that, but then he just keeps getting better and better and keeps putting together outings like that. And, you know, Trevin Reynolds is a guy that is he's on a lot of draft boards probably still this year. The draft has changed, so it's hard to say he's on draft boards and things like that when there's only whatever it is, 5 or 10 rounds or whatever, but he's on a lot of boards to be signed because he's got that level of fastball. You know, he can work it up to the mid 90s and stuff like that. So he's a fantastic arm as well. Just the physical talent there is amazing, and he's produced as well. So I don't know if I can think of any staff that we've had over the years that was deeper than this one as far as talent's concerned. Production wise, you know, there's been a lot of really good groups that won a lot of games and did a lot of damage from respect. The one that pops in my head, I think I want to say 2005. I could be off by a year. I'm not sure, but I think that was Sergio Romo's his year with us. And we also had guys like Brett Armour and Keith Nelson on that staff. Noel Mormon was a wonderful reliever on that staff. I'm sure I'm missing some guys, so hopefully they aren't listening. But
I'll catch you some slack.
But, that was a really, really good pitching staff as well. That was a team that ended up hosting the first ever NCAA regional there in Grand Junction and ended up beating a walk off like a 2-1 or 3-2 game or something like that to Cal State Chico. But that was a really great staff. Kyle Davis was on some really good staffs. I know you remember Kyle.
Sure.
I think he's still the career wins leader. He went to the World Series a couple times, and I think he was on one staff with Nolan Snell and guys like that. Garrett Carpenter was on that pitching staff. Those were some really good ones as well. So I don't know that we've had one that's talented or as physically gifted as the staff they have right now. But certainly production-wise, they've had a lot of good years there at CMU. But I can tell you one thing, it sure does help when you know you're going to get run support if you walk out there. And
no doubt.
Getting it right now. They
Aiden McGarry.
Plenty of it.
Yeah, Caleb Farmer. Goodness. I mean, and Turner. Those guys are just, you know, just ripping the cover off the baseball right now. And, yeah, there's no doubt. If you're a pitcher at Colorado Mesa in 2021, you're going to go out there and – the other day they had against Regis 27-4, I believe it was the score in the first game. And then they had to win, and they had to kind of grind it out and win that second game 6-3, but off to a sensational start.
I was going to say, that'll be the question with this staff and this team is, you know, they really haven't been challenged a lot yet, once or twice. But when they get in a series where they're in a couple, two, three games that are one run games or two run games, or you gotta hold somebody down for three innings while you can make a comeback and stuff like that, that'll really tell you how great this staff can be, because that's the mark of an excellent staff, is when you can lean back on them at some point and say, all right, we're scuffling a little bit here the first couple times through the order, but if we can keep this game at 5-2 or whatever it is, 4-2, if we can keep it there, we're going to win this. We know we will, but don't let it get away from you. And that's the mark of a staff that can really do some damage late in the year. When you ask them to do those things as a whole staff, you know, sometimes you got to make combos and keep a score where you want it. So, you know, you can get back to you the productive parts of your order and make things happen. And that's what they really haven't had to do yet. And at some point they will. And if they can come up with those kind of outings and those situations, you can chalk them up with some of the best for sure.
20 rounds, by the way, for the MLB draft, 20. Which is now, of course, because of the moving the game from Atlanta to Colorado, the draft will take place in Colorado. So you have 20 rounds for this year's Major League Baseball draft. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe we'll hear Trevin Reynolds' name called. Maybe, you know, who knows, for the Mavericks, whose name might get called on the draft.
Them, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a couple of them that could get called. So, yeah, last year was 10 rounds, I think. And then they bumped it back up to 20 this year. So yeah, there's certainly a chance for those guys. So.
All right. Talk to you next week.
Sounds like a plan to me.
We'll chat a little bit more. Talk a little more baseball. And good luck with that weather over there, by the way. Have fun with that.
If it snows every time you call me, we're not doing this anymore.
Am I like what Schlepprock, the Flintstones or whatever? Every time I call I cause you to have the bad weather. I don't have the bad weather. He always had it raining around him. So I send that over to the front range to you. So enjoy, okay?
I'm just telling you, keep it in mind. If I don't answer next time, you'll know it's snowing or something over here. We're not doing this again.
Just not going to do it anymore. Just not going to do it. All right, Davis and Beetle podcast. Catch you next time.